Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Women's running, running, running. Women's running stories.
My name is Katie Camarena. I run for Tinman Elite, and I live in Boulder, Colorado.
Yes, in this episode, you are going to hear from emerging professional runner, Katie Camarena. But before we hear more from Katie, I want to welcome you to Women's Running Stories, the podcast where women share stories about their running experiences. I am Sheree Louise Turner. I am your host and producer, and this podcast is a proud member of the Evergreen Network of Podcasts. Now on to Katie's story. This is one of our race report episodes, and for this episode, we're going to hear all about how it went down from Katie's point of view at the 2024 USATF Cross Country National Championships, which just took place on January 20th in Richmond, Virginia. Like all of our race report episodes, you are also going to hear some context around the race and learn why the result that Katie came away with was a big one for her. This race is the first of the USATF racing circuit for 2024, and just like last year, I will have a race report for each event in the series, getting the inside scoop from one top 10 finisher. And because a race is never just about what happens on race day, you will get to know a little bit more about each one of these runners and how this race figures into their larger running story. A little bit about the series, if you are not familiar with the running circuit. These are races that happen all throughout the United States, all year long, and each race serves as a national championship for the distance or the type of race that is being run. Also, at each one of these races, runners earn cash prizes, and they earn points, and of course, all of that is dependent on where they finish. The points go toward the series overall, which is determined at the end of the year. And this year, the series will finish off in November at the 5K National Championships, which happen in New York City as part of the New York City Marathon weekend of events. Now, back to the Cross Country National Championships. In addition to being able to earn your stars and stripes, as well as cash and series points, athletes have a chance to become members of the team that will represent the U.S. at the Cross Country World Championships, which will happen on March 30th in Belgrade, Serbia. The formula for this is very simple. The top six people who finish are automatic selections. So there was a lot on the line for Katie and all the other competitors. Now, a little bit to know about Katie before we dive into this episode. She is a relatively recent college grad. She graduated in 2022. Katie started off her NCAA running career racing for UCSB. That's the University of California at Santa Barbara. And she finished her collegiate career racing for a short time for Portland State University, where she was coached by Josh Sines. All right, let's get to it. Let's hear Katie Camarena's race report story, and she's going to start us off by telling us a little bit about where she was at as she was finishing up her collegiate career. Here is Katie Camarena.
When I was at Santa Barbara, I feel like I never saw myself running professionally. I didn't even really know, didn't think it would be an option for me. And then at Portland State, I started running a lot better, a lot faster. But I thought I kind of like had it made up in my head that you kind of need to be like an All-American, or you need to like, you have to do these things sort of in order to be able to run professionally. And then when I didn't reach those like goals that I thought you had to have, I was like, I don't know if I can really do this. I don't know like what the path is sort of. And then my coach at the time, Josh, was coaching Colleen Quigley. And so he was like, why don't you guys just run together, like see if you can train together. And so Colleen texted me and I went out to Flagstaff for a month and sort of got to experience like that pro running lifestyle. And I was like, yeah, I love this. I want to do this. I want to figure out a way to like make this happen. But at the time, I don't think I had run times where like a brand really wanted to support me. So I was like, how can we make this work in the meantime? And it was basically, I had to go back to Portland. I still had some school to finish. I had my lease there. So went back to Portland and basically was just training how I was when I was at Portland State, still with Josh and still with the team. And then after that, I was like, well, now I'm not really sure what to do because I've graduated and I've sort of outgrown what I have here. And I wanted people to train with. I wanted to get back to Flagstaff, and Colleen invited me back. And so I went back out there and spent 3 months chasing this dream, and Colleen let me live in her house, which was super nice. I mean, she was basically the reason I've been able to keep running until this point. So I owe a lot of thanks to her.
Through the very cool support shown by professional runner, Olympian, and triathlete Colleen Quigley, Katie found herself in the midst of some of the country's top runners: Nikki Hiltz, Emma Gee, Hannah Steelman, and Ellie Hennis, among others. And as fantastic as that all was, it did take Katie a moment to settle into this new atmosphere.
I'd say it was a little intimidating at first. I was so scared when I first got there. I had never done altitude either, so I was like, I'm really nervous about this, and I don't know how it's going to go. But everyone, that group that I had, that's like Hannah and Ellie and Nikki and Emma and Colleen, they're just like so nice and welcoming, and it was so fun. And I was like kind of surprised by how much fun I was having with it. It felt like every day was like, it was just so fun. I can't, it was like the best. It felt like it was like a little team almost. And I feel like that's kind of what I had been missing. It was like we would all text and pick a time to show up to the track, and oftentimes we wouldn't have the same workout, but it was like, how can you jump in and sort of weave in and out of each other's workouts to make it work? And then after, it's just like laughing and talking about something silly the whole cool down. And then someone wants to, we all go over to someone's house and like come over to Colleen's house and we're going to make waffles. And then you meet up for a double and then come over to the house in the afternoon and we'll see what we can put in the waffle maker. We were doing this thing called Will It Waffle, where we would just put like the weirdest things in the waffle maker, like mac and cheese, or I wanted to do mashed potatoes, but I don't think we ever got around to that. But it was just like such a fun training environment. And yeah, it just felt like having a team again. Yeah. And they're all phenomenal athletes. So it was really fun to have these people who could absolutely crush you in a workout or a run and just kind of following along. And I had never really had that before, like these people to watch and kind of see what they're doing and be able to run with them. So it was really awesome. And yeah, I mean, Nikki and Ellie and Colleen, I mean, all of them have all like absolutely crushed me in a workout in the best way possible. So it was super fun. And I never felt like there was any pressure or like competition at all, which was really surprising to me. I sort of thought that was something that might happen, but it really just felt like everyone was super supportive of each other and of all of their goals. And there was this, I saw this quote somewhere that was like, until it's my turn, I'll keep clapping for others. And that's what I felt like our group was. It was like, I'd win a race and I'd get these texts from like Hannah and Ellie and everyone being like, oh my gosh, like that was so awesome, we're so proud of you. And then, you know, Nikki goes and runs the American record and it's like, no one's like jealous. It's all just a celebration. It's like they went and they did that and we get to train with them and we get to see them put in the work. I don't know if it was just the personalities of the group or how we managed to make it so like so supportive, but yeah, it was, it's just like way better than I could even imagine. I'm not sure if there are other groups who can still have that same, like, not be competitive with each other, but yeah, it was like a dream. And I lived with Colleen, so it was really, I think, important for me to see, like, how she balanced all the stuff she has. I mean, she does so much, and now she's doing triathlon training too. So just to see her balance, like, all of that with recovery and nutrition, and that, I think, was, like, really important for me. And I think that helped me a lot, realizing how you do need to prioritize, like recovery and nutrition, and making sure you're not, like, overdoing anything. Especially, I know it's easy to get, like, caught up in wanting to, like, oh, well, all my friends, like, when I was in college, all my friends are going on, like, this trip, and I really want to go. But it's like, I don't think you can really do that. You need to just be a little bit more realistic with, like, what you can handle doing.
Katie was learning and growing, but as incredible as this time in Flagstaff was, she still wasn't where she ultimately wanted to be in her running career. Katie wanted to be on a team. She wanted a professional contract. And the pressure to get that done began to get to her. It was the type of pressure that she'd first really felt back when she started to get some bigger results after she joined the Portland State team. And a little note here, Katie mentions the 15 in here, and what she's referring to is the 1500-meter race on the track, and that is just under a mile.
That last season at Portland State, I think there was I was putting a lot of pressure on myself. Also, you know, I was the first one from Portland State to qualify for indoor nationals. So I was like, oh, I want to do the best I can here. I want, like, other people on the team to know that they can do this too. And so it sort of wasn't even just pressure for me wanting to do well for myself, but also for, like, I love that I went to small schools and, you know, they don't have as much running history. It's like, oh, I want to prove that people who go to small schools can do this too. You don't have to go to, like, a historic program. And I feel like that was what the pressure was really coming from. And yeah, it started to get almost unfun. And then I was seeing, like, people's predictions being like, I mean, I was ranked third in the mile. They're like, oh, she could definitely win. And then I'm like, oh, now I have to win. Like, I have to win so that I can show to people that it's possible. And I think it just started this spiral. And then when I got to Flagstaff, it was really fun again. But then this past year, I think I went through it again with wanting to get wanting to be on a team and have a contract. Like, every race started feeling like you have to run this time, you have to finish here, like, you have to win if you're in heat two. And that's not how I have fun with it. Like, I don't want to be competing with myself for something. It's like, I just want to see how fast I can run and compete with the people in the race. And at US Outdoors, I was like, you have to make the final in the 15. Like, that's what's going to get you a contract, is making the final in the 15. And then I didn't make the final. And then I had to sort of refocus and try to get it back together for the 5K. And I think I was just so checked out at that point of it. I was like, I don't know what I could do in this 5K that's going to get me a contract. It wasn't like, I want to go out and do the best I can. It was like, I don't know how to get a contract in this 5K. Like, that's constantly what I was thinking about. And then I think I ran all right in the 5K. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible either. And then I tried to sort of, like, salvage the season, and which I thought was salvaging season. I ran PRs in the 5K and the 15, but at the time I was like, I need to salvage this. I need to do something. So I went to go run a 5K or a 1500 in Canada. And before the race even started, I was like, you have to run a PR. Like, you have to run a PR. You have to run under 405. I was like making up all these things in my head, and I raced terribly. And then I was like, I don't know what to do. And I called Josh and I was crying, and I was like, I don't understand, like, why I'm not running well. I don't know what to do. And he was like, just take a few days off and, like, don't think about running. Try to, like, reset and, like, think about the fun things you like to do, like, run with friends, try to, like, get that love for running back and not think about these little, like, ideas I had made for what I had to do. And then we talked after those few days, and I was like, I don't want to run anymore right now. Like, I just want to be done. And then I got asked to do Sir Walter Myler, which I had done the year before, and it was so fun. And Josh was like, well, I think you should just keep training and go to Sir Walter. And if you do Sir Walter and you don't have fun, then like, then you can make a decision. And I was like, okay, fine. So we trained through till Sir Walter, kind of on and off. It was not a very good training block. I was still kind of struggling. And I was thinking like, oh, if I go to Sir Walter, I have to run under 4:30, kind of starting that same thing where it's like making an arbitrary goal where if I don't hit it, I feel like I failed. And then I had the worst travel possible on the way to Sir Walter. It took me like 24 hours to get there, missed a flight, didn't have my bag. And I got there and I was like, whatever, I can't control everything. And like my host family there, I had them last year and they're so awesome. And we had like so much fun leading up to the race. We did the pre-race shakeout together. And I was like, I just sat in the like holding area kind of thing, like staging area, I guess, for a minute. And I was like, I've done so much this season that 3 years ago, I wouldn't have even dreamed of doing. And I had this moment where I was like, what am I doing? Like, why am I putting all this pressure on myself when like, this is the fun part, like racing is the fun part. And it sort of like just clicked in my brain. And I ran 4:29 and had like such a fun weekend. And then the next day did the rundown and like had a super fun day there. And I was like, I don't know, something just switched. And I was like, I don't understand why I was making it into this thing when it's like not even about the contracts or about money. It's like I just love racing and I love running, and like that is the really fun part for me. And so I got back on the phone with Josh after that and I was like, I'm fine now. I just like, that was like a really good reset for me. And after that it was really easy to kind of like refocus. And I went back home for a bit and got to see like a bunch of my friends, and then went back out to Flagstaff and had another really fun like month and a half there. So yeah,
Katie was back. She'd run a sub 4:30 in the mile for the very first time to set a new PR. She got a little downtime and she regrouped with her Flagstaff crew. And like she said, something switched. And things had also started to shift in regard to landing a contract with a pro team.
I met Savannah Shaw at a 1500 we were both running, and just met her there. We went on a run together. I was like, oh, she's really nice. I don't know if we'll run into each other again, but it's always nice to, you know, meet other runners. And then I saw her again at USA's after the 5K when I was sort of not really excited about running. And she told me she was trying to join Tinman and they were going to start a women's group. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's nice that they're starting a women's group. I didn't even think at the time like of myself joining. It sort of just was a conversation we had. And then after I got back from Canada, she just called me and she was like, do you have any plans? Like, I know we had talked this summer and you were kind of figuring things out. And I was like, I still in the same situation, not talking to any brands, nothing's really looking promising. And she was like, well, I really want to join Tinman. They're starting a women's group. And I think like, I'd like to train with you. Can I get you in contact with Mark and Joan Hunter and see if you think you'd be a good fit? And I was like, yeah, that sounds really good. So I got in touch with Mark and we kind of just started talking, and I was really excited about everything he said. And I love like all that Tinman stands for and how they want to push the sport forward. And I was like, I think this is a group I could see myself really liking. And so I took a visit in October and I left the visit basically being like, yeah, I want to go there and that's what I want to do. And yeah, it basically went from there. Things got moving. They kind of took a while to get solidified. I think I knew by the end of, I moved out here at the beginning of December, but yeah, I think mid-November, I signed with them. The move has actually gone surprisingly well, much better than I anticipated that it would. I moved here at the beginning of December. I came out here right after I ran the 5K in Boston. I went to that first BU meet and basically came straight here. So I've been training with the team for almost 2 months now. It went really, really well. It was a really smooth transition. Joan had talked to my previous coach, Josh, a lot about what we thought worked for me. And I think she's really like collaborative in coaching. And so we haven't changed too much, but she sort of like added her own stuff in, which has been really fun. And I just want to shout out the guys on the team who are here now. I feel like I have not done a workout alone since I've been here, whether it's been Mark on the bike or Joan on the bike with me. Eliud did his first day he was here, he did my workout with me. I've had Reed and Connor, our marathon guys, do my tempos with me. I just can't thank everyone on this team enough for like all that they've put into my training these last 2 months. I feel like they have been so supportive and so great. I feel like I went on this whole tangent about how much I loved Flagstaff, but I feel just like so happy to be here and so supported. Yeah, it was a really easy transition.
Katie's move to Boulder was smooth, and things immediately began to click with her team, setting her up to be in fine form going into the cross-country nationals, where she would be facing some great competition by runners like Wayne Colati, who had just set the U.S. national half marathon record at the Houston Half Marathon the weekend before, and top pro Emma Grace Hurley. And Katie, she was ready to go.
I was feeling excited, but also sort of in like a calm way at the same time. I don't know. It felt like sometimes before races, I think I get a little bit nervous and in my head a bit, but I wasn't really for this one, which was kind of weird, but good. It was pretty cold and windy, and I feel like pre-race day, the day before, it was also pretty cold and windy, but it felt worse when we got there on race day. Yeah, I just went into the tent for a bit and talked with my coach and kind of got everything together. And yeah, it was really exciting before, because obviously there was the chance to make the team, and I thought that was a really real possibility for me. So it's always fun to be going into a race when there's like something on the line, you know, it's not just racing for a time. So yeah, it was a fun morning. And my strategy going in was honestly not really how the race played out, which is kind of funny. This is only my second 10K ever. I did the same race last year, and I felt like last year I ran it really conservatively, and I wanted to do the same thing and have a lot of patience. It's longer than I'm used to running, and that's really not how it went. But I don't know. I also wanted to like be brave and put myself in it.
The last few here as the women are ready to race. The USATF 2024 Cross Country Championship is underway.
And as we talked about it earlier in the races, this is that moment where you want to get off the line and get out.
Gun went off and I got out in pretty good, pretty much right where I wanted to be. I think I was in about eighth. And it was a pretty big group through the first, it's 5 2K loops. So for the first 2K loop, I want to say there were maybe like 14 people together, which is kind of what I expected for it to be. And they had some obstacles out on the course, some logs and hay bales. And I remember thinking like, I don't really like where I am in this group. I can't really see as we're coming up to the logs. So I sort of moved myself up on the second loop, and maybe I was in about like sixth, but I had a clear line of vision to the logs. So that was a little bit more comforting. And then at about 4K, just coming into 4K, so our second loop around, Wayne Colati decided she was going to go for it. And I had this like, I don't know, just this moment where I was like, okay, I'm just going to go too. Like, even if I sort of fall off, I think that this is the best way to put myself in a position to make the team. And I felt like we had run pretty conservative the first 4K. And I was thinking, I have confidence in running a 6K. Obviously, not really with a 4K in the legs, but still, I had a lot of confidence in myself. And so I just went with her. I know I'm not like, I don't know if people would consider me like a 10K runner, but I've been running longer workouts and I feel really strong and confident in the pace we were running. So yeah, it was really not, my plan was to be in like maybe sixth or seventh, like at the back of that top group for as long as possible. And yeah, at 4K, I was in second kind of running away. So I thought what she was going to do is kind of speed up and then settle back in. And that's really not what happened. I think she ran 3:05 for that 5K, and I ran 3:11, which was much faster than we had been running. We'd been running in like the 3:20 mids. So it was kind of a shock. I thought she would settle back in a bit. So I was kind of out by myself. And then Emma caught up to me and we kind of chatted a bit about trying to work together. But I think she was feeling a lot better than I was at that point. She kind of got a little bit in front of me. And then it was sort of like us yo-yoing kind of back and forth, kind of working together and then getting separated. And then, yeah, when we got back up to the top at 6K, I was like, okay, I feel good. And only two loops left to go. And then it was kind of going in waves. I was like, I feel really good. And then you'd get to a point where it was like muddy and windy. And I was like, I don't know, maybe I went too early. And then coming back around up the last loop, I saw one of my teammates and he said we had like 16 seconds of a gap. And I was like, okay, all I need to do now is just like stay on my feet. Don't fall over any of these logs or anything silly. Like just get to the finish and you're going to make the team. And that was kind of a crazy feeling to be like running, just running and knowing that as long as nothing goes terribly wrong, you're going to make it. And then, yeah, coming up that last hill when I knew I was in third and going to make it was just like so exciting. It's fun to like feel all the hard work paying off in a way that's like very easy to see. And yeah, it was just really awesome and really validating.
What a finish. A strong third place, putting Katie on the podium for the very first time at a U.S. championship event and the first time she's landed a spot on a U.S. team. So Katie will now be figuring a trip to Serbia to race in the World Cross Country Championships to her 2024 race calendar.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to sort of plan out a race schedule. We sort of had like a plan A and a plan B race schedule, and now we're following plan A since I made the team, which is super exciting. But yeah, trying to just get at least one race in. I'm going to try to get into US indoors and have that be a little fun tune-up 3K before going to World Cross. And then after that, I think I'm going to run some 5Ks. I want to run the 5K at Olympic Trials, but I don't know if Joan's going to want me to run the 10K. But I don't know. We're kind of in a fun spot where now there's a few more options, and it's just, yeah, there's no real plan right now. I do want to run a 5K. My two main goals for this year were to make a Worlds team, and then I want to run sub 15 in the 5K. So I really want to get in a fast 5K somewhere and do that. But yeah, there's no plan right now, which is fun.
That does bring us to the end of Katie Camarena's race report story. A huge congratulations to Katie on a terrific finish. And thank you, Katie, so much for coming on the podcast and telling this fantastic race story. I, of course, wish Katie good luck in everything to come, including the World Championships. Katie is no doubt an exciting emerging pro to keep an eye on. Congratulations also to the other top six finishers, including Wadey Kaladi in first, Emma Grace Hurley in second. Coming in fourth behind Katie was Allie Ostrander with a really dramatic finish, ahead of fifth place finisher Kaylee Logue, and rounding out the top six was Abby Nichols. I will be excited to cheer them all on March 30th. And of course, I am excited to keep up with Katie Camarena, and you can too. Look to the links in the show notes for how to follow Katie on social media. And be sure to tune in for the next race report, which will feature coverage of the 2024 USATF 15-kilometer national championships taking place in Jacksonville, Florida on March 2nd. The race report will be published within a couple weeks of the event. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss it. And that is going to do it for me. Thank you so much for listening. I really would love it if you would also rate and review the show. I am Cherie Louise Turner. I am the host and producer of Women's Running Stories. And until next Friday, I do wish you healthy, joyful strides forward.
Women's Running, Running, Running. Running stories.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.